from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Well, happy Friday. We made it, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Friday, as you just heard in the open. We are Ben and Woods. We are on 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Friday. I am Woodsy, and that to my right is Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
To my left is Higgins, Ben Higgins. Posting his martini last night.
Vacation Ben.
Oh, my God.
Still in effect.
No, staycation Ben.
Staycation Ben in effect. What do you think, by the way?
You look...
Are you impressed?
Exact same. Literally the exact same.
What do you mean? I've got... This is my... what do you think of my beard?
That... Oh, my God. I just noticed.
This is a week.
That's a week?
That's a week. That's why I never have had one before, but there we go. There's a week of vacation.
Dude, Paulie. He has a little stub.
A little rough.
Look at this.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, that's
This is what I get on staycation. This is staycation bearded Ben.
6 years of working with you, I've never seen one hair on your chinny chin.
Takes
chin.
A while. You got to work at it here. So this is a week. This is a weekend.
So I think that you should let it flow. Am I insane? Look at him. Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Why can't you? They're not going to make you. I see people on the news with beards.
I just don't know that it'll ever get to an actual beard.
All right. Well, now you can't shave it. Look at mine, Dr. Richard Kimball.
Rally beard.
That's what I'm saying.
Rally Roach.
They've been playing so well, you can't shave it now, especially going
into the rally started long before the beard.
It did, but now that we have Colorado, our arch nemesis, and literally the. If you're the San Diego Padres, the Colorado Rockies are the best baseball team of all time. They're the 98 Yankees. They're the 98 Padres. They're the Mariners that won 116. They're the Bulls, the 72-10 Bulls. They're the Dolphins. You can't shave that. You can shave it, but wait till after the weekend because you don't have anything to do this
well,
weekend.
I'm definitely waiting until at least Sunday night, which is when I'm on TV.
How good does that look, everybody?
Padres sweep.
Can
the
anyone
Rockies.
See anything? I mean, if I hadn't pointed it out, would anyone have? You didn't notice
I walked in. Yeah. But I felt it, dude. He actually has some stubble there. I did not know he was capable of growing stubble because he has always said he's really not.
It takes a week to get to stubble.
That's amazing. I want to see what it looks like after a few days.
If the Padres sweep the Rockies, you don't shave until the regular season, or until the Padres season is over.
Yes! Look at this.
I'll keep it on
hopefully
until
long
they lose,
into October.
At least. I don't know if
yeah. Keep it on until
they
lose.
I'll keep it on until they lose.
That's fine. That's a good deal.
Which, if they sweep them, means I'll have it on TV on Sunday night, which would be interesting.
Spicy. Which would be. They would go. Is everything all right with Ben? Is Ben okay? Because you are always fresh-faced.
Well, they knew I was on staycation this week, so people come back from staycations with beards. No one wants to shave on staycation.
I don't really like shaving all that much anyway, but this is... Somebody said the other day, and it stuck with me, and I didn't bring attention to it in the chat, but I yawned in the middle of the show. I do apologize. But they said, when Woodsy yawns, he looks like the Cowardly Lion. And I've been thinking about it.
Burt Lahr.
So, here, let me do like a fake. Let me see if I can summon a yawn, and you tell me.
Yeah, I see that. Okay. I saw that. Absolutely.
It's this like weird white and gray facial hair that I have. Yeah, I need some courage. There's no question. Well, I think it looks good. I think you should let it flow. I mean, you have to let it flow now. Mm-hmm. You don't want to...
I don't want to be the one that breaks up the streak.
Ray says, the Yankees would still let you play.
Yeah.
I am on the bench. Paulie, let me see what you're working.
Yeah, well, Paulie's on the bench.
Oh, you're on the bench. Yeah, we're benched.
Oh, yeah.
You're still in the lineup. Ben, you're getting the start today.
I'm requesting a trade.
Well, yeah. You want to get the hell out of there. That's awesome. Yeah, let it grow. I've never seen that, man. 6 years. Bad Boy Ben is finally here. I can't wait for the leather vest version of Ben. What if he just went like full, like
midlife crisis?
Midlife crisis Harley guy would be my favorite.
Harley guy.
Yeah, he shows up on a, it's like a Harley, but it's like a little Harley. Like it's like a real little, like a Sportster. But it's like still cool. But it's not like big chopper, you know, full midlife crisis. But I think it looks really good. I think you should let it flow. And hopefully you do. You can't shave it until they lose. All right? That's the deal. That's an easy bet.
I would love to be the one that gets them through this weekend in Colorado.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you. Me too. I am as nervous for these games as I've been all season. And I am every time we play at Coors Field. We had Bob Scanlon on maybe last year. And I brought it up. And he tried to poo-poo it on the air. And I was like, Scan, have you seen the record there? Like, you know what these guys are. They play a gangbusters when they play the Padres. Buddy Blacks must have that chip on his shoulder because he likes beating his former team, certainly. But, yeah, man, it's this is one of those series. If somebody goes, Woodsy, I got you all expenses paid. Tickets, got great seats for you, all expenses paid. Come on out to Denver. Watch these three games. Let's say, there's no way. The expletives that fly out of my mouth when we're playing this team are they're NC-17. I mean, every word in my vocabulary comes out. The C word, the MF, the CS, all of it comes out against these guys. So that's what I'm looking forward to this weekend, a weekend of very, very high blood pressure. Ivan wants to know where I got my shirt. This is Tony Gwynn hitting a beach ball.
Figurative. Oh, there's a comparison on the screen between Woods.
Let me see it.
And the Cowardly Lion. A little pop up for you in a second.
Oh my God. Now,
it's more the nose than the actual beard and the.
The king.
I don't have
the studio.
I don't have jowls like that yet. I do not have jowls like that yet. Damn it, Paul! I hate that you're so quick on the uptake there, buddy. I got this shirt at Baseballism. My beautiful wife, Hannah, bought it for me. Tony Gwynn hitting a beach ball, which is really, really cool.
Because he saw the ball really well. It looked like a beach ball coming in.
That's exactly right. So, oh, we got Cal Quantrill today. So that should be fun. Anyway, so we'll get into all that this weekend. How was your staycation? Is going well? It's almost over.
Yeah, I cut back a little from 5 cocktails to 4 yesterday just to, you know, moderate myself for the Friday show. I didn't want to be as hungover as I was yesterday. Had a painkiller by the pool.
It's funny, I had a painkiller too.
Did you?
Yeah, but the actual pill, because I went to the dentist yesterday.
Oh, ouch.
And remember when I had the oral surgery? They had to lengthen my crown. And it was like gum surgery. It didn't feel great. But they gave me some Percocet after, which, you know, worth it. But it didn't hurt at all. Like, I took one the night I got home. And was like, I'm good. The next day, I felt great. This one I went in to get, I broke a tooth while I was in Hawaii on a rib.
You're not supposed to eat the bones.
You know the one little, like,
edge,
you know,
bone,
the edge part?
Yeah, you think it's meat?
Yeah, you think it's meat.
And then you eat, and you bite into it, and it was gone.
So I spit out it was like a portion of a tooth. And so this was the tooth we were going to crown anyway. So I lay down yesterday. He starts taking pictures. He goes, whew, you got lucky. And I go, well, why? And he goes, it broke perfectly. We were going to crown this one anyway, so you're actually in good shape. Because I do have to dig out this filling and all that. This is not going to be great. So gives me 3 shots in my mouth. It never feels good to numb the pain. They start working on it, and I give it the wince. I go, and he goes, oh, do you feel that? I go, yeah. And he goes, hang on, let me give you another shot. So he gives me 2 more shots in my mouth. So 5 shots deep, and I'm laying there just sweating. And I had a headache from the anxiety of going to the dentist anyway. So then the drill comes out. Mm. And then the smell of burning tooth comes in. And then I swallow a mouthful of burnt tooth water. Their spit. Swallow that. So I'm laying there. I haven't eaten anything, by the way. I had that one cookie. And I'm laying there going, this is absolute torture. It was just torture. Finally, after about an hour and 20 minutes in there, I got up and he's like, all right, we're all done. And I was like, I texted you guys. I go, I feel like somebody held me down, took a hammer, and hit me in the face with it. But I had those Percocets that I had saved. So I went home and had a painkiller myself, and everything was right as rain after that. But, man, the dentist is a it's such a necessary evil. And I love my dentist. Paul, you go to my dentist. Dr. Skeens is the GOAT. Here's the problem.
Dr. Skeens?
Yeah, Dr. Skeens. Like
not
Paul
really
Skeens.
Skeens.
He's the dentist of the year.
No, he's not.
He was.
He was the runaway. Merrill.
He was the runaway dentist. Yeah, no. It's Dr. Merrill. So, listen, he's the literal GOAT of dentists. That being said, I think he's too detail-oriented. He's too good. And I was like, I think you got it. I think we're good. Let's just move on. It doesn't have to be perfect. I'm 49. I don't have much time left anyway. Let's half-ass this thing so I can get out of here and get out of this pain that I'm in. He's like, well, just one more thing. Let me. I'm like, oh, my God, please.
They're
just,
always perfectionists.
And this dude is, I mean, he is the best. But so it was not, it wasn't my favorite day. We had the round table. And then we went right into the dentist, and that was that. But speaking of the round table, I thought we had a good one yesterday here on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Round Table Pizza, pizza royalty. I will say this. I'm not sitting next to Tony Gwynn Jr. anymore because I kept looking up at the camera, and it was me and next to him. And I said, this isn't fair. He's like devastatingly handsome. And I was sitting next to him, and he was talking. I was looking at him. I'm like, I don't want to sit next to him. Put me in the middle of Ello and Craig, and have somebody
That's mean.
Else. No, I'm just saying. Like I wasn't fair. I don't want to sit next to Tony. I love Tony Gwynn Jr. But sitting next to him, I was like, well, this sucks. Like if you walked in a bar and we were sitting at the bar, and you're a single lady, you'd be like, that's the one. That's the guy I like right there. Very, very handsome dude. Put together the whole thing. Built.
If you were a single woman and you walked into a bar and they were having a Padres round table in the middle of the bar.
Right.
Yeah, your eyes would go straight to Tony.
Because he is so handsome. He had his hat on backwards. He had his cool earring. And I'm just sitting there. It's just a slob. And I was like, this sucks, man.
Not even with my stubble now. I mean, maybe give me on my best day and Tony's worst day.
No,
give me a chance.
Don't
no.
do this. Do not do this. Do
oh,
not
no,
do this.
Not again.
Don't do this again. No, you will lose in the handsome contest right. to Tony Gwynn Jr. I'm right. telling you right
Every
now.
Every time.
He's so handsome. And I thought you did a great job, Benny. That was not an easy one to moderate yesterday because the team's playing great. All of our worries are now. That was as of yesterday. There could be a whole different one on Thursday. I hope it's not. I hope the good vibes continue and the team keeps winning. But it is. It was a. We actually had a really fun time chopping it up.
It was nice to have everybody back together. It's been a while since the entire crew got together for a round table. And yeah, I mean, the reason why you're so nervous about Coors Field this weekend, though, is there are now actual stakes and consequences. When you play well, it just means that every loss stings a little bit more.
This is the last
every
time they go out there, right?
Yeah, this is the last series against the Rockies
can you,
this season.
Can you imagine? Like,
if we had like three at the end?
Right at the end of the year in Denver, not a chance.
I want to ask Schulte today when we talk to him at 9 o'clock. You know, we kicked it around. I don't know if he'll answer this question or if he'll... You know, if there is a right answer, but if you got 18 games in 18 days, would you rather start in Coors Field for the first three or end at Coors Field for the last three? Because my gut tells me I think I'd rather start there. Get it out of the way.
I think you'd rather end knowing that at the end of the series, whatever happens, you've got a day off to reset. The worst possible outcome is Coors Field craziness,
and
you got to eat the whole bullpen up for the first 3 days. Now you're looking at 15 straight more after that without a chance to really reset it. But they're nice and They're nice and reset right now after what Martin Perez did on Wednesday and then the off day yesterday. They're going into this series locked and loaded and ready to go for the next 18.
Yeah, yeah, they are. It is funny, too, like how we look at that. I was thinking about it yesterday, how we look at bullpen resetting. And we all do this. I do it. We all do it. Guys, it's fine. They had a day off. They're good. Like, it's an auto recharge. Like, just because Brian Hoeing had a day off yesterday, he immediately wakes up today. He's like,
Like, it's a video game. You get like three hits before you're dead.
Yes.
So, you got some heart that recharged your character up to full strength again.
You opened a chest and a heart came out and you got it. And so you're like, I now feel.
Because that's how life works.
Totally.
Everyone knows.
Oh, totally. You know, hey, see how rested I am after a day off? No, it's not auto. We all think it though, don't we?
Yeah.
I'm like, we threw 7 pitches on Monday. He threw 12 on Tuesday. Then he had Wednesday off. He's got to be ready to go at full strength on Thursday. It's dumb. It's stupid. We shouldn't do it, but it's the way that we are programmed. It's just the way of this business. Guys, the bullpen should be totally fine. They had 2 days. We have said that. Hey, he had an extra day of rest.
That's why everybody shows up to work Monday morning feeling absolutely just fabulous,
perfect,
right?
Just perfect.
No one's ever had a case of the Mondays, right? Monday's the greatest day because everyone's so rested and ready to go and feeling great.
You got 2 days off. You should be raring to go. It is just absurd. And I'll tell you this right now, we shouldn't do it. And I know that that's not how it works in the big league bullpens and with the pitchers. I know it's constant communication with those guys. Constant communication. So looking forward to talking to the skipper at 9.
All right, we'll set the menu when we come back. Obviously, no game yesterday, but still a good day
for your
Diego Padres yesterday while they opened their chest, got their recharging hearts.
Yeah.
Some other teams in the pennant race were playing and not doing so well. So we'll talk about all of that coming up. Kelly's got to check the traffic on a Friday morning. Hopefully it'll be a good one for everybody out there. We're Ben and Woods and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a Fryer Friday, everybody. Happy Fryer Friday to you. And here's what's coming up on the program today. Obviously, we will start looking ahead to the Padres-Rockies series. I also want to talk about some of the reporting that went on yesterday with John Heyman in the New York Post. A lot of Padres-adjacent reporting. Mm-hmm. Had a piece about the chances of every team to sign Juan Soto as a free agent in the offseason.
Very well worded.
Upset some Padres fans. He also linked the Padres to certain pitcher who won a Cy Young Award here, is now in San Francisco, and could be a free agent again in another report. So lots of Heyman-esque activities yesterday involving your San Diego Padres.
Yeah. Weird dude.
Rookie of the Year voting is going to be about a month away, and the contest is getting quite close, according to odds makers. We can talk more about Paul Skenes and Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, but are we sleeping completely on Jackson Churio? Are we completely? I was watching the game yesterday against the Dodgers. He's got pretty insane numbers as well. He's also a rookie, also an outfielder. Are we completely thinking that this is a two-man race right now with Jackson Merrill and Paul Skenes?
Did they bring him up soon enough?
Yeah, he's eligible.
He is. Well, I mean, he's eligible. 274, 15 homers.
Yeah. How many bags? 16, 17?
He has, 16 stolen bases. He's played 108 games.
Yeah,
right, he's got a 3 WAR, which is right in line with where I think Jackson Merrill's at 3.1.
And like Turby and the... Yeah, Turby 44 in the chat says Churio's been hot since June. Yeah, he's been on a heater, dude. Like, are we completely? Now I know we're small market too here in San Diego, but Milwaukee also doesn't really get the pub. Even though Devin Williams completely swiped a Rookie of the Year from Jake Cronenworth, I feel like they owe us one for that one.
It's concerning though that the Jackson vote could get split.
Yes,
and while the name is irrelevant, the fact that there will be people who favor position players and some who favor pitchers.
Sure.
Skenes' vote, maybe Shota Imanaga.
He was the
slices
runaway.
Off
he was
one
the
or two.
He was the runaway at the beginning of the year. He started like 7-0 and had a .79 ERA or something. He was crazy.
But that is that's an interesting point. And you know, I didn't even care about this at all until I was reminded that the Padres would get an extra first round draft pick if Jackson Merrill wins the Rookie of the Year. Which is absolute gold to A.J. Preller. Just a free draft first-round pick out of nowhere that didn't really have to do anything for. That's fantastic. That's someone he trades away in a year to, you know, add a starting pitcher to a pennant race that they didn't have to pay anything for.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
That's, to me, the reason why you're pushing here hard for Jackson Merrill to try to win the Rookie of the Year award. But the odds have completely shifted, and we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on the show today. Got our regular Friday and weekday features, including Take on Woods and Don't Do This. And then in the second half of Ben and Woods, Jordan Schusterman will join us from Cespedes Family Barbecue. It is that's our 8 o'clock feature. Those guys are always great. Rindle Report at 8:35, and then at 9 o'clock, Fryer Friday, we got the manager, the skipper, Mike Shildt, will join us from Denver, Colorado, as his team not only gets set to start a quick road trip, but a stretch of 18 games in 18 days.
18 and 18, baby.
A real grind here for the Padres at this stage of the season. It's almost crazy because they were so far ahead in games played. You'd think, where are all these? What happened to all these off days they should be having?
Well, no kidding.
They used a lot of them since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
But now that comes to an end, and they've got 18 games in 18 days, and then they'll have a few down the stretch the last, you know, couple of weeks in September before the season is over, and hopefully it's on to the postseason for your San Diego Padres.
18 and 18 could be the name of the documentary when the San Diego Padres win the World Series this year. 18 games. What if we win all 18? I mean, where's the Rally Roach? Is he still here?
I got it.
Got to get the day started by giving the old Rally Roach a kiss, and please, God, let us beat Colorado. Let us beat Colorado. Chris Ello's pretty confident. He said, don't worry, Woodsy, we'll get 2 out of 3. I said, Chris, every time I start feeling confident about beating the Rockies, for some reason, the Brendan Rodgers and the Charlie Blackmans and all those guys.
Would you take 2 out of 3 right now? No chance of a sweep.
I'd give you my second-born son, which who you hate. I would give him to you right now for the weekend.
I'm not the only one, according to our chat, either, by the way, this morning.
My wife was up early in the chat. She said, come get your kids. They're terrible. Both of them.
But, you and the Uncle Teddy, it's your kids when they act out.
Yes. They're my kids when they're turds. So they're mostly my kids.
My Padres and your Padres.
My Padres and your Padres.
But, you know, 2 out of 3, well, it sounds great. You're giving up a game to the Diamondbacks. You just swept the Colorado Rockies. They did better.
I don't care.
You have to keep up with the Joneses at this point of the season.
I take 2 out of 3, and I don't look back. Don't you guys?
I think in 100%. Coors Field, yeah.
In Coors Field, you take 2 out of 3, and you don't look back, and you never...
I think I'd take that at Petco Park.
Against them? Yeah, for some reason? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'm so spun about this series. I hate it. I hate it every year. I wish we never played those guys. I don't like them. I don't like anything about them. I don't like any of their players. I can't stand them. So... This is my World Series this weekend.
All right, well, we'll talk about the matchups of that series coming up in our next segment as we get rolling on Ben and Woods on a Friday. Glad to have everybody with us on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So, Padres open their 3-game series against the Colorado Rockies tonight at Coors Field. We got the matchups for the series, at least the probable matchups for you. We will talk about the next 3 days right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, so tonight's series opener, it's a 5:40 first pitch at Coors Field, 4:40 EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt, and the Padres will be once again facing former Friar Cal Quantrill, who will be making his first start since... Padres beat him on August 4th, and I was trying to see, why didn't he start? Apparently, he came out of that outing in which the Padres won 10-2 with some forearm soreness, and they pushed him back from what would have been his next scheduled start until today, when he will return to the mound against the same team. Now, he didn't give up all of those 10 runs. I think he only gave up 4 of them, but that was a game the Padres actually... played fairly well against the Colorado Rockies.
A blowout win. Yep.
And got that one. For the Padres tonight, on the mound will be Matt Waldron, who has not been quite as Matt Waldron-y sharp in his last few outings. Still has some of those first inning difficulties. And, you know, at Coors Field, you worry because just the slightest bit of difficulties can really get out of hand sometimes there. So, I'm sure everyone's going to be keeping a close eye and keeping their fingers crossed that Matt Waldron can survive some of those early struggles, dodge the one big inning that is occasionally a problem. When he does, he's been outstanding. He's been really terrific. But it's that one inning that does seem to get him when he gets got. And we'll see what happens at Coors Field. Pitched great last time at Coors Field. Did not seem to be bothered at all by the thin air, the altitude, the knuckleball. Pitched still really knuckled. Well. Doesn't the knuckleball need a lot of heavy air to bounce around? And didn't seem like he needed it in Colorado, but we'll see. You know, knuckleball every day seems to be a little bit different. You never know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, and you know, again, I've talked before many times about first licks, and you're going to have an opportunity to stake Matt Waldron to a lead tonight. I think it's important. I think it's always important when you're on the road to try to strike first. It's a very obvious statement, but nowhere... In no situation is it more important than maybe tonight with Matt Waldron on the bump, with, you know, playing at the House of Horrors that is Coors Field. So it'd be nice to get out to a nice 2-3-4-0 lead, because you do figure based on current trends, Matt Waldron, there's a good possibility he gives up one or two himself. So yeah, man, these games are a war of attrition. There's just no question about it. Duff is going to play there. You know, our buddy in the chat, Prolific the Great, said, look, no excuses, man. We are the, you know, best batting average in baseball. You know, one of the most prolific offenses in baseball. And I said, yeah, that's great. You're absolutely right. But you also have to prevent runs. You know, preventing runs in Coors Field is as important as scoring them. So it, you always have your hands full when you go to that place. You've seen it this week. The Braves blew a 7-run lead or something, and it just weird stuff happens there, man. The outfield is vast, and the ball travels very, very well, and that, you know, that should be good for your offense, and but it can also be pretty gnarly on your pitching.
Tomorrow is Dylan Cease against Kyle Freeland, the left-hander, who they have not faced this season, have not exactly fared well. I think he's beaten the Padres 6 times the previous 2 years. They've also gotten him last start in 2023. They did get some runs, and he's not quite the same pitcher he was. He's 3-4 with a 5.75 ERA. Again, Coors Field inflated, so, you know, 1.5 whip. But that's something, you know, I mean, they've done much better against lefties. That storyline has pretty much been put to bed, but I always still think about it because of what happened earlier in the season. Dylan Cease did not have his best 2 starts on the road trip. One wasn't his fault. It was rain, and he got 1 inning and then had to come out. And then he lost his, obviously, the other game of the road trip, a rare Padres loss here in the month of August. So he'll be looking to bounce back. I'm sure he will be very motivated to, you know, carry his weight and join with the rest of his teammates who have been pretty much lights out this month when he goes in tomorrow's second game of the series. I think that's 30 minutes earlier at 5:10. And then in the series finale on Sunday, a 12:10 start, Joe Musgrove will make his 2nd start back from the injured list against Bradley Blaylock, who is, I believe, a 23-year-old that I don't know much about. Woods, do you know anything about Bradley Blaylock?
No, I'm not currently up on my Bradley Blaylock stats, but all I see is that he's 0-0 with a 4.05 ERA, probably a young kid getting a few starts under his belt. But yeah, Joe, it's going to be interesting to see how Joe's stuff plays at Coors Field. Look, man, again, it's Coors Field, so you literally feel like you can be the best team in baseball, which you are the hottest team in baseball right now, and that place can help alleviate. I don't want to be like the wet blanket, but we've watched too many of these games over the last few years.
Is it a good idea to let Joe pitch in Coors Field in a second game?
I think
if you could swing it, save him for Monday when he's back home in San Diego.
I mean, I think it's your last series.
Maybe you take Friday and Saturday. Does that change the equation?
If you take Friday and Saturday, it may make me make, you know, a different decision. If I was the skipper, I'm not. But they have a plan. They want to stick to it. It's not just about Joe. You got to keep everybody else on track. He's still on a pitch count. So, you know, hey, man, 65 pitches and give us your best 3 1/3 or 2 1/3.
Yeah, might be up to 70. Maybe sneak out 5 in this one. After, I think he went to 63 in his last one.
Yeah, so. I don't know that it matters, especially for a guy like Joe. The makeup of his character, he just wants the ball.
He just wants
to get out there. But I'm thinking, we're trying to get your confidence going. We're trying to build you up a little bit. Maybe not Coors Field.
You know, and Ben and I were talking about this yesterday. We talked about a plan. You know, and I think, is it foolish if you're Mike Schilt, AJ Preller, you know, any of the people that are involved in the holistic planning of, you know, the next 18 games? Because you can't go into it just sitting on your ass and not doing anything, right? You have to have some sort of plan. But the plan can change in what? An inning? 2 innings? You know, if Matt Waldron goes out, I feel like if Matt Waldron goes out tonight and gets lit up, he just stays in for 6, right? You just kind of punk.
I mean, he's done that a couple of times this year where he's given up 5 and then stayed in for 6 innings and kind of bounced back.
But the thing about Coors is you also know you can give up 5 runs, you can answer back with 7. You know, it just, you're never really out of a game in Coors Field either. But I do think, Paulie, it's an interesting point that you bring up, because if you want to stick to the plan, doesn't the plan revolve around how much you've used the bullpen on Friday night and Saturday night as well? If you have to go nuts using everybody to win the first 2 games, and then you throw Joe Musgrove out there on Sunday
on a pitch limit,
on a pitch count, right? It just, the plan is, I'm not saying it's wasted time or energy, because it's not. You cannot just go in there willy-nilly and be like, let's let the chips fall where they may. But the plan can change so quickly in that ballpark, which is what makes it so weird. And I guess if I was a fan of another team, I'd be like, that's kind of cool. Those guys got to, like, change everything to go play in Coors Field. Not when you play those guys 20 times a year and you play them 10 times or whatever at their house. It's really, like, it's kind of an excruciating watch as a fan.
I would like to say that the one thing that gives me some confidence about this series is that the Padres are sending three competitors to the mound. Not, and really, everyone in their rotation. Throw in Michael King and now Martin Perez from we've seen. They have competitors who aren't afraid. You know, Coors Field's not going to intimidate them. They're going to go out there and give you their all. They're not going to be thrown by, hey, it's thin air, whatever. All of those guys are going to go out and compete. And I get it. They lost two or three when they went to Coors Field, including that horrific game in which they were up big and gave up six runs in the bottom of the eighth inning and lost 10-9. It was a pivotal game of the first half of the season. If they win that one, they win two or three. And they win that series at Coors Field.
Yeah, nobody cares.
And no one really cares. You just move on. It was just one horrifically bad inning, mostly. It was Wandy Peralta's just his worst outing of the year that it just went all off the rails, which happens sometimes at Coors Field. But otherwise, they competed well in that series. They won one game. Michael King lost the first one.
They scored runs.
They scored some runs. It wasn't the nightmare that I think we kind of make it out to be.
That last one was a nightmare.
It was the last inning of the last game was a nightmare that turned what would have been a solid 2 out of 3 performance into something that kind of scarred all of us in the first half of the season. So,
yeah, no question.
I fully expect them to go in, compete really well. They should take this series. I know you're very happy with 2 out of 3. They're much better than the Colorado Rockies.
Much better.
They're a much better team than the Colorado Rockies, who didn't do anything at the trade deadline. They simply just need to go. They simply need
just
to go
got
and
swept.
Take care of business and do what they are supposed to do. And hopefully nothing weird, Coors Fieldy happens. You know, you get some of those bloops. You get sometimes your pitchers get a little unlucky and it can snowball away from you at Coors where it can't necessarily at other places. But there's no reason you shouldn't feel pretty confident going into this series other than our collective trauma as Padres fans over the years.
And really, the collective trauma is not really, well, this would be just like this team to go into a slide or a skid. No, I don't feel that with this team. I don't at all, really. But these three games.
Oh, yeah, they actually split. It was a four-game series. Dylan Cease won the first game. Matt Waldron won the third game. Both pitched really well. Gave up 1 and 2 runs in those games.
Yep.
And they're back on the mound these next 2 days.
Good. Let's get
good.
It.
That's good. So, anyway, wanted to bring up a couple of reports, kind of almost conflicting reports from John Heyman in the New York Post. And I usually, the reports locally are usually always better than what you get nationally from reporters. As dialed in as they are, even the Jeff Passans of the world can't compete generally with local reporting. So when John Heyman says that the odds of Yu Darvish coming back are 50-50 or maybe even better, great, but what does he really know that we don't already know? We've kind of heard around the same thing. It might not happen. It's just kind of a guess, but he did have that reporting yesterday. But in the same piece, he also said that the Padres in free agency this offseason could, they say the Padres love Blake Snell, could make a play for him this winter to bring him back as a free agent, assuming Blake Snell opts out and declines his $30 million player option, which, around baseball, they think he will, unless he gets hurt next month and just wants to collect that $30 million. He's planning on hitting free agency again. And according to John Heyman, the Padres will be a team that will be a very active pursuer of Blake Snell this offseason, which to me is interesting. Not that I'm surprised that they like Blake Snell. I know the Padres and A.J. Preller like Blake Snell a lot. The question is, what's the direction this next offseason for the San Diego Padres? I know it's a little early to be talking about off-season moves.
It's way early. It's way early.
But, you know, Blake Snell would be a pricey addition to the team.
Yeah.
After a year in which they scaled the payroll way back to get under the luxury tax level, is this report an indication that they might be willing to scale up again, you know, in this next off-season, knowing that they've got Dylan Cease for one more year, they've got Luis Arraez for one more year, they've got Michael King for one more year. Is next year potentially a year where the Padres look at their roster and go, okay, we can go over the luxury tax limit again like we did the previous couple of years, because this would be a perfect year to go for it. And then we'll figure out where we are, who we want to offer contracts to, and kind of reset. But is there a plan in place, and I haven't heard anything locally about this, to, you know, make another investment in the roster this offseason.
Well, I think there's going to be an investment in the roster. I think, you know, target number one, as Tevin says in the chat, is Roky Sasaki. But now that's a completely different pool of money that you're pulling from, but you do have as good a chance to get Roky Sasaki as any other team in baseball. And, you know, we know that the work has been put in. We know that the work is continuing to be put in on Roky Sasaki. At Peter Seidler's memorial, AJ Preller actually mentioned Roky Sasaki that day. So I think that's probably target number one.
But again, as you said, that's a different pool. That's the international pool of money. Yep. That's the groundwork you've laid with Yu Darvish, his mentor, being the most active GM on the, you know, Asian front and in Japan as AJ Preller, his learning Japanese and continuing to practice it for all these years, trying to make him feel comfortable, not just him, but any potential acquisition, you know, Yuki Matsui, all of them. This is what AJ Preller has done. This is why he works, you know, as hard as he works to try to give himself a chance at players like this.
I would totally imagine that he is your first target. Number one, because he's really, really good. Number two, that he's very, very affordable for a while. And that's the guy that you go out and you get. And I think, I don't want to, Blake Snell should never be looked at as some consolation prize, because again, different pools of money affects different things, certainly. But I do think Roky is target number. I'm to the point with Roky, I'll crowdsource a billboard. Like, we should do something like that, something big to get Roky Sasaki here. Not that they can't do that in L.A., because I know that they want him very badly as well.
They have Shohei Ohtani.
They've got Yamamoto.
Yep. They certainly, you would think the Padres and the Dodgers are the two favorites for Roky Sasaki's services, in assuming he does come over this offseason, as has been speculated.
But I also imagine that teams like the Yankees will make a tremendous push for Roky Sasaki.
But they can't offer more than the other teams can. They all can offer right around the same.
He's a phenom, you know, so to speak. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, man, it's a little bit early, and I do think I don't think it really depends on how the rest of this season plays out. I don't think if the Padres, you know, go out and win the World Series this year, that they say, all right, now it's time to, you know, not continue to go for it. Or even if they make the World Series or something like that. I think they're going to continue to, if AJ Preller is the GM and president of baseball ops for a long time, as he probably should be right now. Yeah, I think this is, I mean, he's not going to do anything differently. You know, he's still going to try to win baseball games. That's what he loves to do.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, the other Heyman report that involved a free agent to be this offseason in the San Diego Padres was one that I saw a lot of Padres fans upset about, and that was his column on the odds of each team to sign Juan Soto in the offseason. And his main point is that the Yankees are probably pretty heavy favorites, like at least even money, he thinks, followed by teams, the Mets and the Dodgers and the Giants were his top four. But he included the Padres at the back end. He did his top 10, and he had the Padres at number 10. And the comment that he made got a lot of Padres fans upset. He said, had their beloved owner Peter Seidler lived, they'd be much higher than 100-1 and 10th on the list.
I didn't have an issue with him putting the Padres 10th. I think people thought that I did. I never had an issue with...
I don't think they're higher than 10th.
I don't think they are either, and nor do I think that they're even going to really pursue Juan Soto.
I was surprised they were even in the top 10.
I really think, as much as I like Juan Soto, I think that ship has sailed. I do.
Yeah, your chance.
I do somewhat agree that, you know, if Peter Seidler was still here and everything was going, he might have an inkling that he wants to get Juan Soto back after trading him away.
He might have never traded.
I don't think he ever left.
And he may have never left. So in that sense, what John Heyman is saying has a kernel there to it.
Sure.
People were just upset with just how he said it, I think, and the phrasing of it.
It was the phrasing. That's all that got me, as I went, that's a weird way to put it. It's just a weird way to you're a writer, it's a weird way to put it. Invoking the name of Peter Seidler like that, I thought was a little odd.
Crass?
Well, it's just weird. It's just weird. That's the best way I can describe it. It's just weird. It's very strange.
But no, I do not expect the Padres to be players for Juan Soto this offseason.
No.
And it's fine. They got value for him, big-time value, in Michael King, in Kyle Higashioka, in Randy Vasquez, in Johnny Brito, and in Drew Thorpe, who they helped flip to turn into Dylan Cease.
I mean, really,
without those guys, you're not sitting here 16 games above 500 and fighting for an NL West title.
I mean, at this point, it looks like a total masterclass by AJ Preller, that trade.
All right, we'll come back. We've got some take on Woods, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. We've got a big shift in the odds in the Rookie of the Year award race in the National League. Talk about all of that coming up next year with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.